fourth round of the FA Cup. Perhaps Liverpool were in third gear for most of the game, but we scored four brilliant goals tonight. By moments of madness, gifted Barnsley a goal, but Liverpool overall were full value in the end. Big positive, the return of Ekitike. Him and Florian Wirtz off the bench got a goal and an assist each. But Liverpool in front, despite Barnsley nearly scoring after 27 seconds, Taylor Dunn at the top end, headed against the post, then as rockets from Szoboszlai 30 yards out, Frimpong cutting in, wonder strike with his left foot, then a moment of madness from Szoboszlai in his penalty area, chased back heel in his own six-yard box, and lifelong Liverpool fan academy lad Adam Phillips scored. Then in the second half, Beats and Ekitike, brilliant goals by them. Liverpool through, Liverpool 4, Barnsley 1.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events at Anfield as Liverpool booked their place in the FA Cup fourth round. Coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we will hear from Arne Slot and Jeremy Frimpong. First, though, to our pundits, former Reds Phil Thompson and Jay Spearing, who join myself, Becky Davis, pitch side after the game. You two have soaked all that in, Phil. I think at times it felt more nervy than maybe it needed to be, but ultimately, as the lad said just then, it's job done and we're through.
It is, but you look at it, and I wanted some goals. I wanted it for the fans tonight. We got the goals, maybe coming a little bit late, but it was, again, there was nothing flowing. There was not. We had so much possession, but yet we were all nervous all the time. You know, Jay and myself watching the game from in the stands, and every time they attacked, you went, oh, you felt a bit uncomfortable. So fair play to them, which we obviously will come to in a little bit more, but there was just not enough from us. There was not enough sort of really power play in that final third to cause them problems. So it's job done, but once again, it's not a great fluent performance.
Yeah, it's a game where the scoreline maybe doesn't tell the true story of the game, Jay, because I think, like Tomo said there, pre-match, we were saying 3-0, 4-0, we'd be happy with that. You would have looked at 4-1 and thought that felt like a very comfortable night, but not always the case tonight.
No, listen, I think we have to give Barnsley a huge amount of credit. I felt that they really showcased what they were all about. I'm surprised they're in the position that they are in League One, you know, off that performance. But Liverpool, listen, Liverpool had probably, if you look over the 95 minutes, Liverpool had control of the game for probably about 85. Barnsley had moments on the counter-attack which caused us issues. I'm sure the manager will want to look at that and think, well, do you know, how were they able to get out and get up the pitch quite quickly and cause us the threat that they did? But like we said, the biggest things for me are it's job done, no injuries, and we've got players coming back into fitness and a confidence thing. We wanted, you know, the last three games have been 0-0, no goals. We scored four, people have come off the bench and affected the game well, and yeah, we look forward to the weekend now.
There is Dominic Szoboszlai, who, Tomo, was at the centre of so much of the action tonight, both good and arguably bad as well. I mean, that the moment that Barnsley make it 2-1 is such a pivotal moment in the game, isn't it? Because Liverpool are in control, really. They feel like they've just got that breathing space, and then it's a, should we say, momentary lapse of concentration, I think, from Dom.
Jamie Self, proper football people, being involved in the game, that is not very professional of Dominic. It really sort of upset me of how we handle that situation. And you're thinking, that is not right, that is not. And you know straight away, my goodness, it lifted them. And that's what we are, being football people. You know that when the change just before half-time, you imagine the two dressing rooms going in there. It was not very, and I'm being kind, it was not very professional.
Yeah, we should say he has come out already, done an interview, Dominic Szoboszlai. He's held his hands up, Jay, and admitted to a mistake and says, look, football happens sometimes out there on the pitch. It was a bit of a difficult moment for him. But I will say, I think if anyone can be cut some slack this season, it is Dominic Szoboszlai. He's been arguably the player of the season so far.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a sheer lack of concentration. He'll know, obviously, straight away, he realised exactly what he'd done. He allowed Barnsley to get a little bit of a lift, to give the crowd a little bit of a lift and something for them to maybe to play for. But, yeah, I totally agree. I think, for me, Dom has been probably our best player this season. He's played in numerous positions, right back, right wing, midfield as a six, midfield as a 10, eight. He's been outstanding. His finishing's been outstanding. He scored an unbelievable goal before. Yeah. The mistake obviously come. But again tonight, listen, he controlled the game from start to finish. A lapse of concentration. I'm sure he won't be doing that anytime soon going forward. And I'm sure the manager and his players let him know about it at the end of the game and at half-time as well.
I'm sure they probably did, Tomo. I mean, listen, he's a very experienced player, clearly international captain as well. But players are human. They make mistakes. Everyone's learning all the time. And that is a lesson for him tonight.
The game was too easy at times for everybody. And Dominic, an international player, it did get too easy for him, and he does ever so well by getting back. And I just expected him to sort of go and ease the ball out the far side, and we all went, wow. And that wasn't what we were expecting. But listen, let's say you can cut him some slack because of the season that he's had. He has been our best player by a million miles, which is also what he's run. So, you know, the guy's been quite unbelievable. Yeah, it's still a big mistake.
It was, but I suppose it is so surprising because he is so on it and he is such a quality player, Jay.
Yeah, listen, like Thomas said, the moment before he followed the runner, he beat the runner with the through ball. He got there, he was in full control of the situation. I'm sure Mohamed Ashvili was thinking, where's he going across my own 6-yard box? But he was in full control of it. The play was behind him. He could have, you know, again, we can't speak for him to say what he thought, but, you know, if he carried on running, the player, I think it was Phillips who scored the goal, he would never have caught him. And I'm not too sure whether Phillips was closer or what, but yeah, it was done. And Liverpool managed to see out the game comfortably, and now we can go in at the end of the game and laugh about it.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, it also gifted, as Jay said, Adam Phillips a dream moment, I suppose, in front of the cop for him. Spent the best part of a decade with the Liverpool Academy and had a lot of friends and family watching here tonight.
And it was a nice moment for him. He couldn't believe his luck, sort of a goal like that, sort of in front of the cop. Oh my goodness, it was, what a gift. And you could see he didn't know what to do, really. Do we grab the ball, run back? So he picked it up. Yeah, come on, let's get back in it. But you could see the lift. But for him, on a personal moment, it was wonderful.
Turkey tickets as well, it would have been wonderful as well, wouldn't it?
Definitely a dream moment there for Adam Phillips. Well, we've spoken about the tough stuff with Dom, but let's speak about the good stuff as well, because that goal, firstly, I think from a Barnsley perspective, they're probably like, right, you're 25 yards out. Take a shot, what's the worst that can happen? And they maybe haven't seen too much of Dominic Thomas like this season, listen, because he's phenomenal from that range.
He is, he's incredible, and the strike that he has, he's managed to get a bit of movement on the ball, and it never stays at one level. It's up and down, it's moving left and right. The keeper was scrambling across, he's given everything to keep it to try and get it, but it's flew into the top corner. You know, it's possibly 25 yards out, he's caught it clean as a whistle, and it's gone flying into the top corner, and it really gave Liverpool that little bit of control. It flattened Barnsley for a little bit, but it's an unbelievable strike, and what a player he is. He should be probably doing that more often. I think he said in an interview as well, you know, he's had a couple of opportunities this year, and he's caught that one sweeter than others. But going into the Premier League now, people will be aware of him doing that.
Well, we spoke before the game, didn't we? I was saying about how many opportunities he got against Arsenal,
yeah.
And he didn't have that finish that he wanted, and that's what I think he was alluding to after the game that we heard in his interview. But he possesses this great ability. Their manager would have gone, how many times have I told you, Dominic's a buzzline, make sure you close down. Nobody closed him down,
yeah.
And he's just picked his spot, and as Jay says, the ball moved, and that's the way he can strike the ball. It was a terrific, he scored three worldies, the first one with three worldies to beat Barnsley.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they were great goals.
We'll speak about the others in a moment, but just to stay on Dom for a moment, in the last three seasons, Jay, he scored 8 goals from outside the box. Looking at his stats, that is twice as many as any other Liverpool player has managed. You might remember, I think it was 2024 before the game against Milan in the San Siro, Ancelotti challenged him and said, listen, everything you're doing is great, but we want to see more goals. He actually responded that night with a goal in Milan, and since then he's not really looked back.
No, for me, I think, you know, being very fortunate enough to see him training day in, day out in the finishing sessions that they do at the end of training, you know, I'm very surprised he probably doesn't shoot as often as he does. You know, he tries to find that unbelievable pass through the lines, he tries to clip that one over the top, which he's got the ability to do. But again, tonight he showcased the ability that he has, the unbelievable technique that he has, and the power in the strike that he has, that he can cause keepers and teams problems from outside the box. You know, the stats speak for themselves, and yet it is for me probably a little bit more of a surprise that he doesn't do it more often in games. I think this season more than the season before, he is taking a little bit more opportunities, but between now and the end of the season, I think he should be taking on them more.
He's now scored from outside the box in the Premier League, the Champions League, the League Cup and the FA Cup, Tomo. The only two Liverpool players who've done that in the last 30 years, John Onorisa. You can probably name the other
Steven.
One. It's Steven Gerrard. Yeah, you might have seen the interview with Steven Gerrard recently where he was asked which current Liverpool player resembles you the most, and instantly he said Dominic Soboslai, which is same shirt number, of course.
Yeah, same shirt, same. And when you look at his overall game, we were at sort of waxing lyrically about his game against Arsenal. I couldn't believe it. That's why I thought he'd be rested tonight, because of the amount of yardage that he put in against Arsenal. He was truly phenomenal. But all those sorts of things is what made Steven Gerrard great. You could always rely upon him. He was there game in, game. Didn't matter how much effort he put into the games. And Dominic's becoming that sort of a player. And yet, I would like to think the number of chances that he gets, maybe should be getting more goals. But then we could say that about certain players. Virgil and Ibu from corner kicks should be scoring more. So it's challenging yourself all the time.
It's incredible praise, that, from a true legend of this club. I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you see the similarities there, Jake?
100%. Yeah, listen, I was, again, very fortunate to play alongside Stevie G, and Steven was an unbelievable leader. He took the game by the scruff of the neck. He wanted to have full control. He wanted to take the set pieces. He wanted the penalties. He wanted to shoot from outside the box because he could. So he is incredibly like Steven. I think that, like Tomo just mentioned, then he started to take on that nature where players are looking for him to get a grip of the game and do things, you know, spark something, spark by making a run, set the press. You know, if Dom presses forward, we all follow. If Dom makes a tackle, or, you know, Dom presses and plays through the lines, and we all follow. And they're all looking for him to be the one that, you know, sets something off. And yeah, the resemblance for Steven Gerrard, obviously, for Steven to say it, for me, it is clear to see.
It's interesting, Jay speaks there about the leadership side of his game as well, because we were chatting to Milos Kerkez a few weeks ago. Obviously, he's seen that in the international setup, because Dom is his captain in Hungary. But I think we've started to see that this season at club level as well, those leadership qualities come to the fore.
No, without a doubt, we've seen him growing. I said before, you have to challenge yourself, and it does. You know, this boy's an international footballer. He's captain of his country. Do they look? They look to him for leadership. And you do need. He's not captain here, but at times, as Jay just expressed, that people who are looking at what he does, like Jordan, in a little bit. He set patterns in games, and he challenged people. You know, come on, we're going this together. We push together, and that's what we're seeing in Dom. People are looking at him. And the people in this ground are looking at Dominic to be that leader in the side.
Yeah, Dom gets the first goal. You spoke about Dom running himself into the ground against Arsenal. Someone who also did that was Jeremy Frimpong, and he gets the second goal. It really nice goal, this, and his first goal, of course, here at Anfield as well. And he really enjoyed it, Joe.
Yeah, it'll do him the world of good. You know, he's in a decent little vein of form. We talked about him before, that, you know, playing on that right-hand side, being further up the field. He was a real threat. He can go outside, he can come inside. And I felt as the game went on, he started to get more of an influence. You could see that the manager shifted the back line a little bit. Robbo seemed to be a little bit deeper. Virgil went more central. Gomez went to the right, and that allowed Frimpong to go higher on the right-hand side. And you could see that he wanted him out to be the outlet. And once you get him 1v1, they're the moments that he thrives upon. This time he's managed to come inside, and he's caught his left foot, which we haven't seen very often, you know, strike at the ball, but it's gone flying past the keeper into the roof of the net. And again, it'll do him the world of confidence going into these next games, now that he's going to be probably more than likely going to be our regular right back.
I honestly believe there's so much more to come from him. He's got to be better with his final ball, his crossing, I mean. And because he gets in such great positions, you know, we've seen Trent, you just knew, was going to deliver a good ball. Jeremy, you're looking and you're saying, come on, we need a little bit more quality from you. Because the number of times he gets in that position, and I was quite surprised, because he was an outlet. Although they were playing five at the back, the left back was actually tucking too far in. And the number of times they could have given it early, and I allowed, because when you're that wide player, you need 10 yards to get a run, start running. Nobody's going to stop you. But a lot of the time we delayed it, and the left back went and closed him down. The number of times he got it and you went, wow. And I was saying to Jay, watching it again on the monitor, the fullback just gets unsettled, and he's gone, and he's passed him to get it on his left foot. what a finish. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's gone straight through the keeper.
Yeah, it's pace. We spoke about it pretty much, but he's absolutely rapid as well, isn't it? You feel like that the next few weeks, this is a really good opportunity now, because it feels like he's finally got some momentum after the injury issues he's had.
Yeah, I think it's momentum, but also rhythm. You know, he's starting to find his way. He's starting to feel into the games. He's starting to understand, you know, playing alongside different types of players at Liverpool, what the manager wants from him. I also think that he's unbelievable where he can stand up a defender. You know, he can get the ball to his feet and stand there and make it jink. But if he knocks it 5 yards, that first 5 yards of pace, 10 yards of pace, I don't think there's going to be many people that are going to be able to keep up with him, and he's going to be a constant threat.
Do you think the players have still got to sort of realise how quick he is? And I know that sounds strange, because we see how quick he is, but at times he gets to that byline and goes past. Nobody's reading it. Nobody's racing to the near post, getting across the near post. Everybody's still surprised. That's his pace. And you go, wow. Because he is, I've not seen many from a standard start as quick as, you know what I mean?
I think there's some where, instead of giving it to his feet, could you just play it in front of him? You know, set him off, set him going. Because one, I say, if it's a foot race between him and the left back on most Premier League teams, there's not many that are going to be able to keep up with him. So put it in front of him, let him run onto it, and let him go. You won't catch him.
Yeah, second goal for Jeremy Frimpong tonight. Just in terms of the third goal, obviously there's a long period where it's quite tense before Florian Wirtz pops up and feels like we can all breathe a sigh of relief when that hits the back of the net, Phil.
And it's understanding maybe development between Hugo and Flo, because when that ball comes in, Flo's already on his way. He's on for that little flick, and it's worth taking a chance when you've got not too many players forward. It might as well run ahead of them rather than wait for them to lay back, because so many times we get ball played on the edge of the box and we're laying it back 3 or 4 yards for maybe somebody to have a shot. This was a great flick with his heel.
It's a back heel,
and he plays it in, but his finish is still just so effortless. And he just sails it past the keeper. As I say, we've had three worldies. The first three were worldies to beat Barnsley.
Yeah, and he had an opportunity just a few minutes before that as well, Florian Wirtz, which he probably will have felt that he could have done better with. So he will be pleased to get on the score sheet, Joe.
Yeah, Tom, I wasn't too happy with that one, was
you? No, I wasn't. I feel like you have to finish them. Yeah. It's one of those balls, and I think he was already celebrating. I can't remember. It was Dominic who crossed it. I think he was already celebrating with him, because he's took it with the outside of his foot. Yeah. It's very nonchalant, and I'm going like that, just bury me.
He's
a world class player. You know, the level that he is, the game, the speed he plays, the game, the control he has. You can see the manager. Did the manager think, you know what, 2-1, I need someone in there, you know, because they're so compact, they went into a 5-4-1 block, I need someone in there that can, you know, play the ball like on a perfect way through the eye of a needle, I need someone that can do that. But the combination between Hugo and Flo, just like Tomo mentioned, I think that the connection that they're building is really exciting to see. And, you know, you can see that the partnership for the fourth as well going forward, it's something there. They seem to be getting that connection of that understanding of where the next one's going to be, and you know, once they start building that, it's going to be exciting times.
He is a mesmerising footballer to watch, isn't he, Florian Wirtz? I mean, you're blessed to probably see more of him than most, I imagine, in training. Some of it is quite magic.
he's literally, if you understand football, you can see that he's a world class player. He is unbelievable. He makes the game to the pace that he wants it to be. His way to pass with both feet is extraordinary. I've never seen a way to pass like it. His ability to finish is there. You know, we've seen it on the third goal tonight. He can control games with however he wants to do it. He just needs to get himself going. I think the time in the last couple of weeks, we've started to see glimpses of flow, you know, that everyone was talking about, on obviously the price tag that came with him. Goals and assists he's going to be judged on, and they're starting to come now.
Well done.
They're starting to come now, because the ability is there. That's obvious. It's now just on that consistent basis, because people are going to always question because of the price tag.
There's always been the glimpses, haven't there, right from the start, but it's the consistent glimpses that we're seeing now.
And listen, it is, it's a different league, it's a more intense league, it's a more physical league. You go, is it to the Bundesliga? And it is, you don't get any rest. You know, the top teams, Imat Leverkusen, having such a great time in the league and beating all before them, and Bayern Munich, and maybe Dortmund, but then that's it. You know, you can guarantee what results are going to be every weekend. Here it's not like that.
Yeah.
As we have witnessed all season, teams come, they pack the defence, and they're good defenders, And it's been difficult for him. You can't say any otherwise. But I think we all believe, and everybody in here understands what a footballer is within him.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the physical side of the Premier League sometimes surprises players when they come from abroad. Arne Slot was saying how he's almost been on a weight gain programme. You can see physically he looks stronger, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think his fitness levels look better as well. You know, he seems to be able to now be that person that's pressing forward, running forward. He's lasting a lot longer in games. He's covering more distance. Like you say, the manager mentioned about bulking up, getting ready for that physicality at the Premier League. It's his first year. You know, he's going to probably take time to bed into the new team, new players, new way of playing. He probably had a bit more of a free role at Bayer Leverkusen, where now he's come here and the manager wants him to play either left, down the middle, or, you know, a lot more structure and also out of possession too. So he's got a lot to learn. He's still incredibly young. He's adapting. And for me, yeah, it's exciting times ahead.
Yeah, he gets the third goal, and then Hugo Ekitike gets the fourth, and obviously Flo returns the favour with, he puts it on a plate for him for this
yeah,
one,
but
doesn't
this, he? This is not easy also.
It's
because
the understanding you're
yeah,
speaking about.
Yeah, it is, and it's in there. His run is perfect, seeing it on the monitor. He is just onside, Flo, but he goes down, and his touch is great, but it's the pace that he gives it for Hugo. If he delays it the slightest, the keeper can come and get it. But he just hits it that well. You have trust in your mate, because to hit it that sort of fierce, that he's going to slide, because you know he's going to have to sort of slide to get the ball in the back of the net. I think, it's, again, we were talking about the great understanding between the two of them. It wasn't as good as the first three, but it was certainly a good goal.
Yeah, it's his first appearance since New Year's Day, Hugo Ekitike. Good to see him back. There's always that slight nerves with a hamstring, but he looked flying out there.
Yeah, he did. You know, we spoke about the Arsenal game as well. Did we miss that real someone as a number nine of Hugo Ekitike in the Arsenal game? Potentially, yes, we did. Unbelievable to have him back. Seeing him on the top line, he's been exciting since he's come in. He's really hit the ground running. He scored a lot of goals for Liverpool, and he's an exciting player. You know, he gets you off your seat. Yeah. You're not too sure. You know, is he going to make his way through a line? He can score all different ways. Tap-ins, lovely strikes of a ball with his right foot, and he can also head a goal in as well. So yeah, it's fantastic to have him back going into this busy period going forward now.
Overall, as Jay said, a lot of credit goes to Barnsley as well for their performance. Phil, they wanted a penalty. What was your take on that one?
Yeah, I looked at it again on the monitor. So maybe it's the contact with Dominic, who's behind him, and he's sort of, but I think from what I could see, Dominic gets the final touch when the two of them,
didn't he, so.
To me, he just gets his toe, but it's what happens before then. Are they looking at that? Listen, not getting penalties, we're quite used to that.
Yeah, so, you know, no VAR at the moment. And doesn't come until the fifth round.
You know,
it
would have been
Cup,
really so. Worried. I know they were sort of screaming for it, and I can sort of sympathise with them a little bit because
they were outraged, I think, in the Barnsley dugout. To be fair, Joe, what was your thoughts on that one? Not that it matters.
No, do you know what? I think the referee has done unbelievably well to see how close it was. He has to be 100%.
Yeah.
Correct in his decision that he's going to go with. Obviously, looking back at the monitor, that we were very lucky to see that obviously Dom got the ball first, but I can also understand why the Barnsley whole bench have ran off and gone towards the fourth official. So yeah, they'll look at that as a huge moment in the game. It's still at 2-1. And yeah, we'll look at that.
I always tend to look at things of how I would feel if it was against us, and you would be fuming. You'd be seeing the contact.
You
see sort of him trying to grapple with him from behind, and that contact's being made before he actually gets that touch on the ball.
Yeah, the Barnsley dugout up in arms. It was a calmer Liverpool dugout tonight. Arne Slot was there. He's speaking to Peter McDowell now.
Well, boss, well done. Progression in the FA Cup, which is what you wanted. Tell us about the performance. What did you make of it tonight?
I think the fans have seen many of these home games. And every time we go out there, we're hoping we can give them more and we can generate more chances of the amount of ball possession we have. But we will keep trying, keep working on it. But it is obvious that that we find it quite difficult to generate a lot of chances from all the ball possession we have. But I saw four very nice goals. The first one, a shot from outside the box. That's something, if you are not able to to play around them and take the 1v1s on and get your chances from there. And there, and a shot from outside the box is an opportunity. And in the second goal, we could see that a one-on-one from Jeremy Frimpong is a big, big, big weapon to have, which you can see in almost every game where you see low blocks. And the third and the fourth goal, the third goal was a great combination through the middle. Great goal, fourth, deep run in behind. When they were maybe a bit tired in the end, but yeah, like I said, I think our fans have seen these games, in my opinion, far too many times, because you're hoping other teams, and I'm not blaming Barnsley because I can completely understand them, but in a Premier League game, you're hoping that it's a bit of a more open game, but no, they always come to Anfield to have 11 players on the 18-yard line.
You signalled that this is a competition that you want to win this year, go as far as you can with the team that you picked tonight. Is that because you feel there's a big gap between now and the weekend, or did you just feel they needed that continuity?
That's one part of it, but I also had no other option. Because it's simply not possible with the squad we have that I take 11 players out and bring 11 players in. Because we have three long-term injuries, Connor, Giovanni Leone and Alex, not as long as the other two, but also quite long. Wata was only trained once. So yeah, that means that I cannot take the starters from Arsenal out and play 11 other players. So that wasn't possible. And then the good thing about that is that some players can just keep their rhythm and keep playing. But there's a lot of games in January, and some of them have to play a lot, and that's what we know. And that's why we have to respect these players so much, because it's almost every time the same ones that have to play. 13, 14, 15 players. And 11 times unbeaten now is positive.
They are a big positive as well. The fact you get Wata back on the bench, Hugo gets the chance to come on and score a goal as well.
Yeah, no, Hugo, of course, we missed him, even more if Alex is out as well. But we couldn't take the risk because Alex is out. So then you cannot take a risk in the games before. And it's always nice if you are a number nine and you didn't play for two games, and then you come in, you immediately score a goal again. Great assist by Florian, great pass by Dominic Soboslai. So, good to have him back, and good to have Wata back as well, because as you can see, another time Dominic Soboslai had to play on the fullback position, and that might not be for the last time this season, although I favour him in the midfield and I think he favours himself in the midfield. But yeah, sometimes if you have no other options, you have to be creative, and that's what we did tonight.
And he's dramatic tonight as well, Dom, isn't he? He's involved in everything, gets the goal, the amount of interceptions he makes, the passes he makes. He's been the standout player, but he's involved in a goal at the other end that probably will be talked about by the opposition.
Yeah, but also by us, and definitely also by me. It's not for the first time that we are 2-0 up and we give a goal away easily. But this one stands out when you talk about easily. This is it's unbelievable that you give a goal away like this. And that's why it was till the end really hard. And I feel really sorry for Trey, because maybe it was my mistake. But at 2-1, I thought I had to make the substitutions to win the game instead of giving a young player who's training every single day so hard and which is such a big talent the playing time he might deserve. But yeah, like you said, I thought, let's bring Ryan first, and that had all to do with us conceding the 2-1, because usually a game like this should go to 3 and then maybe more. But we made it difficult for ourselves to concede the 2-1, because then the other team gets belief again, they defend even better than they did at 2-0. So yeah, another time, easy goal given away when we were 2-0 up.
Just finally, can I ask you about Conor Bradley as well, boss? Obviously, progression into the next round is brilliant, but everybody's thoughts will be with him now with the season over, and you know, we keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well with the operation.
Yeah, of course. I feel so sorry for him. He's such a good boy, but all of them are good boys, but he works so hard. Had his chance with Trent leaving the club, and then he missed already more games than I wanted, than he wanted, because of a few injuries. And now he was making steps, he got better and better, and he was ready to keep going, and then something like this happened. So it's such a shame, first of all for him, But we will help him. He will get his surgery and rehab staff and everyone that's working at the club will help him to bring him back as soon and as good as we possibly can. And but unfortunately for him, it hasn't been the season where he and definitely I was hoping for him.
Thank you, boss. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, the thoughts of Arne Slot there. We did touch on Conor Bradley pretty much, but let's speak about him again, Phil, because you can tell even when he's just asked the question there, how dejected the boss feels, you know. I think sentiments everyone shares, the frustration for Conor Bradley at the moment.
Yeah, because you're seeing... No, he's not a Scouser. He plays like a Scouser, and it's nice to always have one of them in your side. And you just feel for him because of the injuries that he had. We were speaking before the game. And he's such a prospect. He's probably realising it. And then you've got Jeremy comes in. He's got another challenge to get over. And it looks as though he'd won that. And you thought, wow, we've got something here because we've got Jeremy wide. Obviously, while Mo's been away. And you've got Conor behind him, who was a combative player. But he's also got an eye for going forward, and he's got an eye for a pass. So we're all devastated for him. It is so hard. I've been there, and I've had injuries. I don't know whether Jay's had as many. I've had sort of cartilages out. I've had sort of broken sort of collarbone. So you go through things like that, and you think, why always me? But you have great help. There's people there at the club who will be there for him. And I think, you know, our football club's always been like that.
All the more frustrating because this, of course, with the departure of Trent, Jay, was such a huge season for him and such a massive opportunity. As Tomo says, he is in a dressing room, sadly, I suppose, with other players who've been through similar situations, and to be able to draw on their experience and their strengths will help him massively.
Yeah, first of all, you know, he's had to wait an awful long time to be behind Trent. He's had to be patient. He's had to wait for Trent, you know, when Trent maybe had to get a rest or he got a knock or something, to then get his opportunity. You know, with Trent leaving, was it the perfect time for him to then step in and be the number one right back? And just like Tomo's touched on there, you know, Frimpong came and he's had to win that battle, and he seems to have managed to get that battle. This season he's been a little bit stop-start just through niggles and stuff. He hasn't been able to get momentum, but over the last couple of weeks we've started to see the Conor Bradley that we all love, you know, the one that runs forward, the one that tackles, the one that, you know, competes like a Scouser, like Phil said. And it's an absolute devastating injury for him. It's going to be a long-term one. But the players, the staff and everybody at AXA will be around him to support him. And you know, he's, like you say, there'll be players around him that have been there, done it. You know, the older boys, they've had experience of injuries, long-term injuries, and they'll explain to him, you know, they'll have good days and bad days, but everyone's there to support him and talk to him at any time he needs it.
His captain's been through it, hasn't he? You know, his ACL, and, you know, he's come back sort of stronger. Takes a little bit of time, but you've got an unbelievable amount of people there, all one-to-ones and everything, to make sure he comes back better.
In terms of the options at right back, obviously Jeremy Frimpong is one, Joe Gomez another. The boss hinted there that we might see more of Dominic Szoboszlai in that role as well.
I found that he's maybe looking at it. He's maybe looking at it in that position because it'll give Jeremy a chance on the right. Or, you know, Mo will be back the end of the month, so it's given options. I think. Listen, a manager is, you have to be like that. You have to be thinking ahead and how can I change things. Like Dominic looked surprised today when he was going to right back. He's trying things out at times like this to see it. Dominic's played. We all want to see Dominic in midfield because that press and that high energy, it brings so much to the side. You have to do what you have to do for the team and the club. And I think that's... But you've got Joe Gomez. No surprise that Joe, after about, 65 minutes, Joe comes off. Because I was thinking at first, I thought, why is Virgil not coming off and Ibu going on? But, of course, Joe, with his injury problems, you didn't want to overload him.
They have to protect him, don't they? He's kind of, as Phil says there, he's almost a victim of his own success at right-back, Dominic Szoboszlai, because he's played that role so well when he does play there. But there is that, I suppose, that worry that it stunts what he is so good at in playing midfield and being further forward.
Yeah, listen, I totally agree with Phil. I think, for me, his best position is in midfield. I think he can, you know... press forward, he can run forward. You know, we talked about him all before, the details and the excellent skills that he brings to the team. I think another option that, you know, we haven't probably mentioned is Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones has played right back for us this season. He's another one that could possibly, you know, fill in there to allow Dom to stay in midfield. I can see why the manager wants Dom to go at right back, because, you know, you can, he's got a maybe, could he roll inside and, you know, get around him. I can also see why maybe is he thinking keep Jeremy at right wing. You know, he's our outlet. He's been a real shining light over the last couple of weeks as well. He's been a real threat down that right side. So, you know, you can see why the manager's ideas are starting to spin. You know, who is he going to fill in there? But yeah, Joe is another opportunity as well with Ibu coming back in. It's just obviously keep making sure that we keep Joe fit as well, because he played there at West Ham, I think I'm right in thinking. So he had a really good game there as well. So he's another option.
Overall then, what are your positives from tonight that you take, aside from the obvious, which of course is getting through, but can you take other elements from the performance and be happy?
Well, it's keeping that run going.
It's 11 unbeaten now.
It's 11 unbeaten, which is nice. And it's been a difficult 11 games. I'm not saying it gives you sort of, but you keep on going and you keep on ticking these off. I remember it being, I think when it was 2 and 3, and I said, they're little baby steps, and we have to sort of get back to that the way our season had gone. So that's the big positive to me, is that we've kept that run going.
I think it's really important to kind of remember where we were after the last defeat, which was, feels a long time ago now, the PSV game here. And you're thinking, right, as Phil says, it's baby steps. You just need to shut up shop and become more defensive and more solid at the back. And as that time progresses, obviously, you want to see maybe more lively performances and more exciting performances, Jay. But still, it's a big long run now. That before that West Ham game, for example, if somebody said to you, you're going to go the next 11 unbeaten, everyone would have bitten your hand off for that, I think.
100%. I think, you know, after that PSV one, it was a simple case of, right, we need to build a foundation. Our foundation is keeping clean sheets and not losing games. I think we've done that. Yes, we would like more perfect, you know, performances as an overall, but that will come in time. You know, we've had injuries of people coming back and going. We have not had such a threat on the top line. A consistent top line, if you want to say that as well, to maybe be that real threat of scoring more goals. But as long as you have a foundation of, you know, not losing games of football, you can build on that, and then over time you'll start to get
we're
creating things. And listen, a huge positive for me is 4 goals tonight. You know, after the last 3 games, all nil-nils, 4 goals, no injuries. They're 2 of the biggest ones that I'd take from the game tonight, looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, we did want goals. We got 4 of them, as Jay says, in the end. Let's hear from the man who got goal number 2. It's Jeremy Frimpong.
Well, Jeremy, well done. It's job done and into the hat for the next round. What did you make of the performance tonight?
Yeah, I think it was a good performance. We went out there and we gave our all, and we won 4-1, so I'm proud of the team.
Great goals as well. Let's talk about yours, because spotted you in the warm-up. You with that left foot, had scored one in the warm-up prior to the game.
He's
cutting inside. Seen it, yeah. Didn't escape us.
Yeah, man.
Fancied it in the game.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I got a bit of stick back home against Arsenal when they said, instead of like passing it to Flo, I should have shot, you know. So I just thought, this time I'm just going to smash it. But yeah, I just wanted to shoot, and yeah, I took the chance.
It obviously meant a lot to you getting the first goal at Wembley, but the first here at Anfield with the family's feeling for Liverpool and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. So this is my first goal at home. Yeah, it meant a lot to me, because obviously I've been injured for most of the time in Liverpool. So to score this goal was really like a relief, you know.
And the impact you've had in games since you've come back as well, you know, a new position. I know it's not a new position for you, but a new one that we've seen you in. That must be a great feeling, to be impacting games the way you have after that frustration.
Yeah, I just want to help the team. I'm going to use my ability, you know. I'm just happy to be on the pitch and just play football, really. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Positives were some great goals tonight, players on the comeback trail as well. Which was the pick of them for you, aside from your own?
Wait. I think maybe Dominic.
Yeah.
That goal was a banger. Mm. So, Flo's was good as well.
Yeah.
You know, so Between them, yeah.
He doesn't want to pick. Exactly. I'm just looking at some of the stats for tonight where Dom is concerned. It was an eventful night for him, but 100-plus passes, one possession 10-plus times in a single game, scored a goal as well. Nobody's done that in all of the major competitions this season. How much of an impact has he had, do you think, for Liverpool this season, Dom?
Dom is an amazing player. You know, the first time I played against him was when he was at Leipzig, and I could tell he was a great player and he was going to go to a big club. No surprise he's at Liverpool, you know. He's a big, big impact for us, you know. He's everywhere on the pitch. He can play any position, I think. And he's just his work rate and his attacking ability, defending ability. Yeah, man, we're just pleased to have him.
They were game, weren't they, Barnsley? Certainly made a game of it early on. They don't look like a team that's 17th in League One.
No, they're really good. They're really good. Obviously, we don't... how can I say? How do you say it? We don't... Like they're a good team. We're not like saying, oh, they're League One, so yeah, we're not gonna try. But like they were really good. Mm. So yeah.
This is such an important competition, isn't it? You've had that experience of winning trophies everywhere you've been, but the FA Cup has that mystique, and it's a competition you
exactly
want to win this year.
Exactly, just exactly like how you said. Everywhere I've been, I've won. Mm. I've won everything, and that's what I want to do here, man. Mm. That's why I play football. I want to win trophies. So yeah.
Well done tonight, mate.
Thank you.
So much.
Tell you what, you'll struggle to find a more entertaining interviewee than Jeremy Frimpong. He is an absolute live wire, cracking character, the kind of guy, Jay, I imagine you love having in the dressing room.
Yeah, listen, again, taking, like, you know, going around with the 21s on a daily basis, and you know, you can see the character he has around the coffee bar, going out to training, he's always laughing and joking, but obviously when the football starts, he is serious and he loves it. But you need people like that in your dressing room. Absolutely. You know, they make your day-to-day life in the world of football enjoyable. Yeah. They make it fun, they give you memories, and yeah, he looked at Pete there as if he'd fell in love with Pete.
he was slightly looking at him like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, man.
He's a character though, Tomo, isn't he?
And it is, it's lovely, and it's quite true what Jay said. You need different characters, but you need some fun characters, you need sort of lively characters in there, because it's, you're with these lads nearly every day, so it's no good having the same characters, everybody really serious. He looks like a really good, fun guy, yet he's a serious guy, and a serious man, but he has absolutely been terrific. I just hope it continues with him.
Absolutely. You could tell the relief, I think he said it himself as well, getting his first goal here at Anfield, how much it meant to him, Jeremy Frimpong. Let's talk you through what the fourth round of the FA Cup looks like. Now Liverpool are safely through. The Reds actually were in fact the first team out of the hat. They will play Brighton here at Anfield on Valentine's Day weekend. Elsewhere, Stoke hosts Fulham. Sunderland's reward for winning at Everton is an away trip to Oxford United. Southampton face Leicester. After beating Nottingham Forest on penalties, Wrexham are at home again, this time against fellow Championship opposition in Ipswich. Arsenal, they will play Wigan. Liam Rosenior takes Chelsea to his former club Hull, and it's Burton Albion versus West Ham. What about the rest of the fourth round draw? Well, it looks like this. Liverpool's next opponents, Burnley host Mansfield Town. It's Norwich against West Brom. Port Vale versus Bristol City. Grimsby, of course, they knocked Manchester United out of the Carabao Cup earlier on in the season. They will face Wolves. The only other All Premier League tie, as well as Liverpool, Brighton sees Aston Villa take on Newcastle. Manchester City will play either Salford, what a tie that would be, or Swindon. That third round tie will take place a week on Tuesday after it was initially postponed due to a frozen pitch. Macclesfield's reward for that giant killing of the holders Crystal Palace over the weekend is another home tie against top flight opposition in the form of Brentford. And to conclude the fourth round draw, it's Birmingham versus Leeds. It's a competition, obviously, which provides real hope of silverware this season, Phil. I think Arnestott was speaking pre-Arsenal in his press conference, and he was saying, look, there's plenty of seasons where it doesn't always result in a title, but can still result in some incredibly memorable moments with silverware. And the FA Cup could easily provide that for Liverpool this season.
We've seen it with Jürgen, you know, whether it's been the Carabao Cup, we are Liverpool, and we're determined by all the trophies that we win. So that's why it was lovely to see him. And I know the boss said that it was, you know, necessity to play all of the big lads. But it was just nice to see the bench was full. The bench looked really attractive. And you're thinking, this is great. So the FA Cup means so much to the people. You know, maybe to the sort of TV cameras and things like that, it's very low. I always think it's a most wonderful trophy.
Absolutely. We didn't want to talk about Brighton too much pre-match, did we, in case we jinx things? But we can safely speak about it now because Liverpool are through, Jay. What were your thoughts on that one? Obviously, a home tie, always good. All Premier League tie is maybe tougher than you want in the fourth round.
Yeah, so early on, yeah. But, you know, if you want to go far in any cup competition, you're going to face the big guns or the Premier League teams at some point. So the best bit of the draw is probably that it's a home. Brighton, you know, they are this season, they're not as consistent as they were last year. They're a bit up and down. You know, they have one good result one week and then they seem to lose the next week, which is a little bit like not how they've been over the last couple of years since he's gone in. So yeah, the home draw for me is going to be a big one, but Liverpool are going to have to come up against big guns if they want to go far in this competition, and Brighton are going to be the next hurdle.
Yeah, you'd always bat them at home ultimately.
No, without a doubt. And that's why the nice thing, it's, you know, it's Brighton. And you look at sort of all the other games there, it's quite open. You know, there's only the Aston Villa Newcastle game, which, so there's going to be a couple of, hopefully, Premier League teams going out. And you look at that, the draw and who's in it, you go, wow, you can go quite a long way in this as long as you get a little bit of luck, you get the draws right, and I just love it. You know, let's make sure that when the Brighton game comes around, so hopefully the boss is going to pick another good side.
Yeah, there's plenty more Premier League action before that game rolls around on Valentine's Day weekend. The next one up, of course, is back here Saturday afternoon against Burnley, which second from bottom in the Premier League. Jay, dare I say it, it feels like 3 points really should be.
No, you
but you don't
that.
Want me to say it.
No.
Come on.
That's too early to say that. You know, listen,
would you
away.
Take a point?
No.
There you go.
Yeah, of course. Depends how the game goes first. Listen, we went to Turf Moor and it was a difficult one. You know, we kept going right to the end, ended up getting a penalty. I know Burnley are in a little bit of a tough situation. They are a good, hard-working team. I know, obviously, it's been a difficult time for Scott Parker in trying to find the right formation and how he wants to go about it. But, you know, coming here, they're probably going to end up not sitting back as much as, you know, as tonight,
yeah,
and as Barnsley did, but, you know, they're not going to be jumping forward, pressing us high. Liverpool are going to have to probably break down a low block again, and it's going to be a one where we're going to have to be patient, take our time, but also be very clinical when we get any opportunity in front of goal.
Yeah, it needed a 95th minute Mo Salah penalty that we've just seen there back
very
in September.
Mo, didn't he? Taking it, my goodness, it's just so. But listen, Burnley, I just said to you, Beck, that no easy games in the Premier League. The boss has alluded to it. It's going to be another packed defence. You know what it's going to be like. We've seen there, people were saying to me before the game, oh, Barnsley, you know, they play four at the back. They're not going to change, you know, because that's the way they play. No, everybody's playing five at the back. Yeah. So they're looking and they're doing the due diligence on us. And we're struggling against five at the back. And it wouldn't surprise me that Burnley would be exactly the same.
Yeah, it sparks a tricky looking run of fixtures in the Premier League. I think we can show you the next few Premier League games that lie in wait for Liverpool after Burnley. This is all competitions, actually. So after Burnley, it's Marseille in the Champions League, then Bournemouth away, Carabag here in the Champions League, and then it's Newcastle at home as well. After that, it's Manchester City, and then they go away to Sunderland. So I don't want to jinx it, but you have to be taking 3 points against teams like Burnley at home with tough fixtures to come, Phil.
No, would you like to listen? I know you were saying, would you take a draw, Jane? No chance. This is us at home. We should be taking. And I do want a nice sort of 2 or 3 goal comfortable victory in some games, and it's these games we've got to find a way of how to unlock these defences. And City are able to do it. They seem to find a way through defences better than what we do, and I just think we've got to start sort of unlocking that, finding a way how to beat these teams a bit more comfortably.
Yeah, it was very much a tongue-in-cheek, would you take a draw, just for clarification. But no,
I did understand that. I didn't realise you were trying to be funny.
Just saying it for my own credibility. That's the top of the Premier League table. It's just disappeared. We can maybe bring it back. But just when you look at this, in terms of what your overall hopes are for the season, Jay, I mean, I mathematically a title is still possible. It certainly would be extremely difficult. I don't think any team has ever done it with this gap at this stage of the season before. First time for everything, maybe. But what are your maybe realistic hopes for this campaign?
First time for everything, I agree with that one. I'll take that one first and foremost. But yeah, listen, mathematically it will be a difficult thing to do, to go and win the title now. So our next best thing or next biggest thing that we need is top four. This club needs to be in the Champions League next year. So that is a minimum that we need this season. Is it doable? Completely, 100% it's doable. The next run of games, we find ourselves being at home at a 3 out of 5, I think it is. You know, we have to make Anfield a real fortress, and like it has been for such a long time, pick up 3 points every time that people come here. We're going to have to be real clinical in what we do going forward, and we need to win games of football, and we need that top four.
There's
finish.
A gap opening up between us and Villa, and that's not nice.
Yeah.
You know, the top three, you don't want them to pull away. So we're being consistent, but not looking sort of as though we're going to sort of smash every team. And I think we've just got to be a little bit better at how we put teams away.
That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We will be back here at Anfield again on Saturday, though, with more analysis and interviews too after that Premier League meeting with Burnley. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.